Predators are some of the most disgusting and terrifying criminals out there. But what happens when they finally get caught in the act and face the punishment they deserve?
Can you show me that he's only 17?
I can put you in handcuffs and throw you in the back of a car.
Here are four spine-chilling reactions from sinister predators realizing they've been caught, starting with the most shocking of all. In March of 2017, a father contacted the Moore Police Department about his 17-year-old son. He revealed that his son had checked into the Super 8 Motel and he was worried about him, so the police went to check on him.
He's either here for narcotics or prostitution for narcotics.
Kids prostituting himself out? That's strong.
Let's go open up the door so we can talk to you.
What?
What?
Why?
Yeah, because you have a juvenile in your hotel room. Okay, open the door and we'll talk to you real quick and we'll be done.
Come out.
I'm right here.
Come out before you get me worried. Show me your hands.
Okay.
Take a seat on the...
What's going on?
What's going on with you, man?
Just trying to have
a good time? Yeah. What's your name?
Ralph.
Ralph what?
Shorty.
You got an ID, Shorty? Shorty doesn't sound like a last name to me.
I'm sorry, guys. You're kind of freaking me out a little bit.
Yeah, that's what we do. He's 17.
Okay.
What do you mean, okay?
I didn't know you.
Okay. Whatever you're doing, it's a bad idea. If he was a couple years younger, you'd be going to prison.
At that time, the officer had no idea he was dealing with 35-year-old Senator Ralph Shorty, a Republican from the Oklahoma Senate. What puzzled everyone was trying to understand why Shorty was with a teenager inside a motel in the middle of the night. And a few days later, they were both brought in and questioned separately. What followed in the interrogation was extremely disturbing.
There's a pretty lengthy conversation on his tablet that he says is with the guy that is you, is online, or the kick ID is Jamie Tilly.
He calls me Jamie, and I'm not sure why.
Okay. He says, I need money for spring break. Jamie Tilly says, I don't really have any legitimate things I need help with right now. Would you be interested in stuff? He says, yes.
He's telling me that when he first met you, through Craigslist, that he had posted an ad in Casual Encounters, and that he had a lot of responses for it, but that you said that you wanted him to mess around with your wife while you watched, and then said that it never happened because she was pregnant. So here's the deal, Ralph. You and I both know what the truth is, and the truth is not what you're telling us.
It's not me.
It's not you.
Okay. We communicated by phone. There was no intention that night.
Shorty denies that he was Jamie Tilly on Craigslist and didn't have any online conversation with the teenager. However, the police had all the proof they needed. There was even a witness who recalled exactly what happened.
We've got a witness that put you there. When you say,
I absolutely picked him up.
When you say, I'm here, the witness is waiting down the street because she thought it was jacked up. She thought it was jacked up that he wouldn't tell her where he was going or anything like that. So she sits down the street and waits. And then she sees him going to the Super 8 Hotel with you, and then she gets scared and wondering what the heck's going on, so she calls the police, or calls his dad, and then who in turn calls us. I mean, we have his device, these are just photos of it. We actually have downloaded the entire device now. So we have everything that y'all said that night, everything.
I'm telling you, that's not me.
That clearly is you. That's Ralph, that's a lie. You're lying to us right now. That's clearly you. No one else, with daughter sick, coffee shop, I'm here and you're there. That's clearly you.
I don't know who else he could have been talking to.
Shorty kept on denying his actions. But the FBI also found that Shorty had been doing this for 5 years. He had used fake names to send and receive child pornography and go on Craigslist to find these young men. According to Shorty, the younger, the better. The legal age of consent in the state of Oklahoma is 16. But under state law, engaging in prostitution with anyone under 18 is illegal. And even though Senator Shorty claims he didn't know the boy's real age, the police didn't believe him.
We're not saying you're a bad guy. We're not saying you set out thinking that this is some 15-year-old kid you're going to go. We're not saying that. We're saying, hell, maybe you didn't know how old he was. I don't know. I think you probably did based on what he's telling me. I asked him, I said, hey, does he know how old you were?
And he said, yeah, he knows because we had a discussion about it. And at first he was uncomfortable with it, but then he finally got over it.
I know you guys don't believe me, and I'm not going to try to convince you otherwise unless I have something to show you. And I just don't know.
So basically all that can happen is, at this point, is that we get more evidence about what's going on. Because there's nowhere to go from here.
There was no way out for Shorty. And in June 2018, prosecutors revealed that Shorty has twice with the victim before they were found together at the hotel. Finally, in September 2018, he was sentenced to a total of 15 years in prison on a child sex trafficking charge and 10 years of supervised release. Now, imagine if the predator is someone everyone is supposed to feel safe around.
As a teacher, if you're accused, you're guilty.
Stephen Budd was a teacher at Rosarian Elementary School before he got caught and arrested for giving out candy to kids in return for favors, a reward system he likes to call Bud Bucks. In 2013, two teenage girls came forward and reported Stephen to the police. The incidents took place in 2006 when Bud was their homeroom teacher, and the girls were only 9 at the time. A few months after the report, he was brought in for interrogation.
Why do you think they're...
Because of all the crap I've been saying today. The girl has been calling me and accusing me of stuff.
Why do you think she would accuse you of this?
Anything that happened in the classroom or anything that you remember?
No.
This was a couple of years ago, right?
Yeah.
How long ago was this?
Fourth grade. Not sure what she is now. She's high school.
Right.
So obviously you know the allegation.
Yeah. There's,
have you ever had anyone bring up?
No. 18 years of teaching has never come up.
Okay. How about in another state?
No.
Nowhere?
No. I have no history at all.
So would you be surprised if other children came forward?
Yes.
The same way?
Yes.
So what were the control issues today? Like, what was going on with that?
What do you mean the control issues?
I thought you said she was trying to say something to you.
Yeah, she was accusing me of doing stuff every day in fourth grade to her.
You can tell from his body language that he's hiding something. At first, he seems relaxed, and then suddenly he shifted in his seat and got in a stiff, defensive posture.
The allegations were... So I don't know if you're familiar with DNA.
Yeah.
Was there any time that you were at the school that you did not have it, and maybe you walked in or something to any type of evidence down the road that shows up?
Yeah.
That stuff doesn't go away. I know it's been quite a few years. I'm just letting you know.
Stephen maintains that posture as he denies the allegations. What Stephen accidentally confessed to next might have been enough to put him behind bars.
Well, I want to understand the subject of possible. I don't right now. You have reading, you have beanbag, you said under the desk.
Well, under the desk wasn't necessarily a center. It's just kids ended up there at some point.
How many?
It's one of the places that they went, as well as like under the computer table, as well as, you know, up front and wherever.
How many kids can fit under the desk at one time? Your desk?
I don't know.
It looked pretty small to me. I wouldn't say that you could fit more than two.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Do you agree?
Yeah, I guess.
So you don't recall ever taking Miss Medina's class?
Yeah.
These girls saying this happened.
Yeah.
We have Miss Medina saying, yes, you took another class. How would we account for that?
I don't know how you'd account for that.
So you're saying you don't remember that?
No, I don't ever remember pulling anybody into a green room during French or Spanish or whatever it was.
At this point, he knew he was one confession away from spending the rest of his life in prison, so he asked for his lawyer.
Would you consent to a DNA standard for us to compare to any potential evidence located under the desk?
Personally, I would, yes. But I also think... this is like, there's no answer, and I can't piece it together either. So I'm thinking at this point, you know, I need a lawyer. I need to find out someone that can tell me and look at this for me, not nothing personal against you guys, but if a little girl came to me and said these things, I'd be heartbroken and go with her too. But I have no one to give me advice.
Stephen was found guilty of sexually assaulting 2 9-year-old girls inside his classroom and was sentenced to 3 life sentences in prison. While the first 2 cases were a breeze for the cops, Josie Armand's case took a violent twist.
Turn around, put your hands behind your back.
On May 22, 2021, 30-year-old Josie Amon was accused of groping a 10-year-old girl in a Wisconsin Walmart. But before anyone could stop him, Josie fled the store and ran out of sight. Thankfully, it's not that easy to escape the police, and this cop managed to track him down.
Does the name Josie ring a bell?
Yes.
Is he here?
Yes.
Okay. I gotta talk to him. Hey, Josie. Officer Flatten. This is a little bit more urgent for me, so I decided to just come down and talk to you here. In May, we got a complaint from a parent and a young girl at the Walmart in Alaska that involved you. Anything ring a bell to that? Okay. Have you ever been at the Walmart where you got chased out of the store?
Josie kept on denying everything, but the cop had a trick up his sleeve. Before visiting Josie, the officer collected pictures of him at Walmart and a receipt confirming a purchase that he made there. He had him dead to rights.
Would you agree that this is you? No? Okay. Is this your truck?
Definitely not.
You don't think that resembles you in the slightest?
My retard.
The suspect of this whole thing was inside Subway, bought a sub sandwich, used your debit card.
Wait. Somebody used my debit card, you said?
Well, you.
In a Subway?
Yep, on Alaska Walmart Subway. You still want to tell me you have no idea what I'm talking about? Okay.
At this point, there's only one option for Josie, to run.
Turn around, put your hands behind your back. Dominic, you got taser? Stop! You stop! Stop! Get on the ground.
Luckily, Josie didn't get too far before he was tackled to the ground by the cops, and they made sure he regretted even choosing to run in the first place. Josie was charged with first-degree sexual assault of a girl under the age of 13 and misdemeanor resisting an officer, and could face up to 60 years in prison. Everything happened extremely quickly for this guy, but in the case of Ryan Burton, the cops had spent weeks planning their attack and making sure he headed to jail for a long time. On July 6th, 2021, an investigator pretended to be a 15-year-old girl on social media, and Ryan Burton took the bait. He even went as far as asking for her address in La Crosse, Wisconsin. But when he arrived, he was greeted by police officers and not the young girl he was expecting.
My name's Detective Ross, and I'm with La Crosse Police Department. Can you take your hands out of your pockets for me?
Yeah.
What's your name, sir?
Ryan.
Ryan, okay. Any weapons with you today?
No.
Okay. If you just want to put your hands on the top of your head, I'm just going to pat you down, make sure you got no weapons with you today.
Okay.
I'm here at the police department as well, sir. See our badge?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Right. You like?
Yeah.
Put your hands behind your back. You okay? You're not
hurt, Brian? I'm good.
Ryan was immediately arrested as the chat with the investigator was more than enough proof to take him in. However, they now had to learn more about Burton by searching his car. One of his diaries caught their attention. You won't believe what was written inside.
Both therapists mentioned that I had nonverbal cues that I was uncomfortable when talking about what happened. After some reflection, I think this is because I've always felt like I'm a good person, I'm kind, but this has turned me into a and that makes me very uncomfortable.
Why don't we just take that whole thing?
Okay.
At this point, Ryan's fate was sealed. They had the conversations and the diary as proof, and the only thing that was left was to interrogate him.
So Ryan, obviously you're here. You were taken into custody for a reason. I've got an open investigation. I investigate crimes against kids. Okay, you still have no idea why you're here? As long as you understand your rights, Ryan, I need your signature here. And if you want to talk to me and talk to me about why you're here, signature here.
Okay.
Okay. Don't want to talk?
No.
Okay. You're going to be going to the county jail tonight. There'll be two charges. All right. One of them is the use of a computer to facilitate a crime.
Okay.
And the second one is an attempted second degree of a child.
Okay.
I'll respect your wishes, and we're going to get you out of here as soon as we can.
Ryan decided to stay silent and has been charged with two offenses. The first one is the use of a computer to facilitate a child's sex crime, and the second one is attempted second-degree assault of a child. If found guilty, he could face up to 60 years in prison. However, Burton was released on signature bond, which forbids contact with his biological children. The bond allows supervised contact with his stepchild and restricted internet access.
You said age didn't matter. You were going to have oral sex. You were going to give him oral sex. You told him straight up that you knew he was 13.
This is the moment Timothy Kine, a 42-year-old realized he'd been caught. Timothy tried meeting up with a 13-year-old boy, but unfortunately for him, John was actually a decoy placed by the To Catch a team and was run by a team of experienced catchers. After just a week of online chats, Tim was lured in and taken down by the cops. After being apprehended, he was brought into the police station where the interrogation began.
Tim, do you know why you're here? Why did you come to Highland Heights tonight? Can you tell me?
I was going to meet this guy, and just, you know, we were going to watch the movies and stuff. We just met online. I was actually going to be in the area anyways, and
Tim decides to play dumb and acts as though he's got no idea he's done anything wrong. A classic first move many make, but somehow not as common as his next claim.
Who was that person?
John. I can't remember his last name.
How old was he?
I 18, I think. I really don't know.
18. How'd you meet him?
Online.
Do you chat online?
Yeah.
Quite frequently.
Of course, he says John was 18 years old, the legal age of consent in Kentucky where all this took place. This response is actually so common that lots of people actually treat it as an incriminating statement. If a 40-year-old is comfortable meeting up with and having with an 18-year-old, they're either lying about the kid's age or very likely also willing to meet up with someone that's 17 or younger.
I have some chat logs where you all talked back and forth, and I think that person told you they were 13 in the chat log.
I wouldn't meet somebody 13 years old.
No.
So that's that's too young.
Yeah.
Not only did John tell Tim he was 13, it was almost the very first thing he said. And while Tim acknowledges here that 13 is too young, his messages contradict that as well, with him explicitly stating that he really doesn't care about the age. It's the guy that he's interested in.
You want to tell me a little bit about how you chatted with, was it John, you said?
Yeah. Nothing, we just met and, you know, just went from there.
Did you have something in common?
Just seemed like a nice guy, you know?
It doesn't take a genius to realize that Tim's keeping his answers as short and vague as possible here as a way to hide the true nature of his messages. Tim already knows he's in trouble and what he's likely in trouble for. His only play is to try and convince the detectives that he was there for a different purpose. Unfortunately for him, though, the cops think they have everything they need to take him down.
I've read a little bit of the chat that you had, and there were some underlying issues of maybe homosexuality. Was that maybe the reason for your contact with John?
Could be, but if that's what you said, that's, you know, that would never happen.
Mm-hmm. So, but you were interested in him because he was or a man?
Personality and so forth.
Personality.
Even friends.
Many people have noted that the detective's comments here are besides the point of the interrogation, but there is the possibility that it was a question posed to trick Tim into incriminating himself. If Tim was interested in John strictly because he was homosexual, that implies that his intentions with John were sexual. However, this does become a somewhat pointless argument when you realize the pair met on a website called gay.com.
I get the feeling that you think that we're trying to mess with you. That's not the case at all. We're here to find out what this situation was so that we can explain it.
That's the situation. I mean, that's
you understand me, though?
I understand.
So I need you to come clean with me. And tell me what this was all about.
That is exactly what it was about. You know, if I meet somebody, fine. You know, I mean, if it goes farther, that's cool. But, you know, I mean, I'm looking for friends. Yeah. Maybe a relationship.
Tim and the cops continue to talk about everything that's happened so far, with Tim explaining there was nothing inherently about the meetup, and he had no idea the guy was 18. But as the cops start to repeat the same questions over and over, he starts to get visually uncomfortable. So the cops decide to ramp up the intensity to see if they can get him to crack.
Tim, we got some problems here. Whenever you talked to John, you told him straight up that you knew he was 13. I can't tell you how many times in this chat log that you tell him that you know he's 13. You talk about spring break. You ask him when his mom's leaving. You planned on coming to stay. Hold on. I've listened to you. Okay? I'm going to lay it out for you because here it is. You were coming to stay all weekend, not just a day. You told him you were coming all weekend. You were going to have oral. You were going to give him oral. You asked him the first time that he if he'd been caught by his mother. And whenever he asked you how old you were when you started, you said 13 or 14, and he said I was the same age, and you said that you understood. So don't tell me that you don't know that he was 13 and that that wasn't your intention to come here and have sex with a 13-year-old.
No, that was not my intention.
It was absolutely your intention,
Tim.
Don't fill me full of crap. I'm done with that game. That game is over. Now, do we want to talk about what your intentions were here? Because I'm beginning to think you're
not a.
All the messages that the detectives are referring to are public, so we can see exactly how disgusting they really are. Not only was he constantly telling John he liked him, wanted to date him, and would do anything for him, they also talked explicitly about cuddling, making out, oral sex, and masturbation. And that's not even mentioning the fact that Tim lied about his age and said countless other creepy and things. In court, it's possible an experienced legal team could argue that Tim misread John's age or completely missed it in the first place. His words back this up when he's explicitly said if he found out the kid was just 13, he wouldn't have engaged in any activity. However, many of his other messages carry the implication that he was fully aware that John was underage and that it was even his primary focus.
If I would have known, then I knew and then I just didn't realize it. Because when I looked on the website, it had a date, like 1974, something like that. So that's the connection that I thought. Okay.
You've already told me that everybody lies online. Why would you think that that's correct?
Until you meet somebody and go.
Until you chatted with him and he told you he was 13 years old.
I made a mistake.
And you said that was great. That was fine. You did not have a problem with the age difference.
You
talked to him about high school. You talked to him about girls at school and the boys. If there are any gay boys at his school, at his high school.
Yeah, we talked about a lot of things.
In the past few minutes, Tim's stance has changed from a relaxed, open stance to a rigid, upright one. He's also crossed his arms in front of him and has his shoulders lifted, both telltale signs that somebody is feeling very uncomfortable. Tim also decides to take off his jacket, likely meaning he's very uncomfortable, and feels a subconscious need to reset the entire interaction. Lastly, his legs are crossed, and his feet are crossed and constantly moving around, implying a huge amount of anxiety and a subconscious need to exit the interaction entirely. After almost an hour of interrogation, the police decide that they're not making any progress right now and decide to step out temporarily. This gives them a chance to drop their next move whilst also leaving the suspect alone, letting them stew and become more anxious about their current situation. After an hour of waiting, the detectives finally return.
But you told me you already realized that this was a child. Tim,
I would not have had with a child. I'm sorry.
Tim, you talked to him about the Easter bunny. An Easter basket.
God, everybody, I got an Easter basket.
You asked him if he still believed in the Easter bunny. Don't tell me you thought
he
was 18 years old.
I did not ask somebody if they...
You absolutely asked him.
No. Do you still believe in Easter Bunny?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah. And it's in black and white. Now, come off of it. Any judge is going to see that. Any jury is going to see that. And they're going to say, this guy is absolutely a
Well, he then I guess it's going to have to go that far.
Away.
You know, it's going to have to go that far then.
So is this the profile you saw? For John?
Yeah.
And can you show me where on here you thought that he was 18?
I can't.
Because it's not there and it never was.
Here it says he's 73.
Yeah, but then on his...
Yeah,
it says he's 13. Which you also went
location.
There.
Location.
See, Tim?
See what that's this, where...
No, you see what this looks like?
Yeah, I see what it looks like. It's terrible.
It's absolutely terrible.
Yes, it is. See, I made a mistake. You know, because I
you
still would not...
You didn't make a mistake, you
I
knew.
Still would not have worked for somebody because they're underage. I'm looking, you know, 18 would have been fine.
He didn't have
but
a
I
car.
But I made a mistake.
He didn't have a car. He didn't have a driver's license. He couldn't meet you somewhere because he was
well,
13 years old.
Well, I didn't put
old.
Two and two together
and
that he was
that.
13 years old. I did not know that. I did not. I mean, that's... I did not know that.
Despite Tim still not confessing or budging even an inch, the detectives still believe they have everything they need to bring him to justice. And that's exactly what happened. Timothy Kine was charged with a felony count of interstate travel to engage in of a minor and was sentenced to 46 months in prison, as well as 20 years of supervised release, and a mark on his permanent record as a registered